live from the TakeRecordsLLC.com studio. Right.
This is your new home.
One love, baby.
For classic hip-hop and R&B. All day. Blazing 98.5.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchbox. My name is Mike and I hope you're having a very good afternoon out there. Let's check into the weather real quick. All right, and we have 76 degrees outside, although it does feel like 79, so it's going to be a very nice day, folks. All right, this evening's high is supposed to be a 42, so you might want to get a blanket, and tomorrow's going to be plenty of sun with 81 degrees out there. All right, as far as traffic is concerned, folks, we want to definitely let you know that there's a crash on eastbound Cimarron west of 8th Street blocking the left lane. All right, so if you're going in that area, please be careful. All right. Traffic and weather is brought to you today by Club Tilt and Grill, 3744 Astrazon Boulevard. Now, let's talk about the Lunchbox, all right? I do want to let you know that it's 11:02 in the a.m., and we are absolutely live, folks. That's right. The Lunchbox is live this afternoon, as it is always. And if you'd like to be a part of the Lunchbox, by all means, write us an email. Let us know what you want to do. And that is info@blazin985.com. Once again, info@blazin985.com. And who do we have today at the Lunchbox? Well, we have Mike from the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. Hello, Mike. How you doing today? You're more than welcome, but you got to talk into the mic if we want to hear you.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go. There you go. All right. And so exactly what is your job? What do you do for the Heritage Center in Manitou Springs, sir?
Well, the Manitou Springs Heritage Center is the local museum in Manitou Springs. It's comprised strictly of volunteers who dedicate a lot of time for the operation of the museum. In addition to having exhibits at the museum, we also have a pretty extensive archives and storage of artifacts at the museum.
And, well, first of all, how long has the museum been there?
Well, the museum has been around, for roughly 20 years. However, it's been in its present facility since 2012. We're in the process, we've recently purchased the building after renting it for several years, and we concluded the purchase of the Heritage Center back in April of this year. We're very proud of the fact that we now have a permanent facility for the museum.
That's right, and you ain't got to pay nobody's rent now.
That's right.
That's right. So, yeah, all right.
We're on our own, buddy.
Yeah, you're on your own, exactly. All right, so now, the bad side about that is if a pipe bursts, then you got to deal with that now. You can't call anybody.
That's exactly
right. That's all your problem
now.
We
have some very capable volunteers at the museum, some of which have mechanical skills.
Oh, good.
They can help us with tasks like that. We have an operations manager. And thank you again for all the volunteers of the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. Neil, Michelle, Barry, Lynn, on down the line, we got Shirley. We got some wonderful volunteers. And I just happen to serve as one of the curators of the museum.
All right,
as well as its president.
Oh, okay. And so tell us about some of the things that are in this museum. All right, then why should anybody take their time to actually go to the Manitou Springs Heritage Museum?
Well, anyone visiting Manitou Springs should know about its fairly extensive background in history. We're proud to be one of the starting points of any tourist visit to Manitou Springs. We have stories about Emma Crawford, the Chief Gusher Bottle, and the founder of the UT Bottling Company, Robert Schuller. We have exhibits about Van Briggle Pottery. Many of you are familiar with the potter located in Colorado Springs. It had the reputation of being the longest-running potter in the United States. We also have a fairly good exhibit on Pikes Peak Destinations, describing many of our favorite destinations on Pikes Peak, and we just have... My friend Linda here and I just happened to be on Pikes Peak yesterday, hiking many of the trails.
Oh, okay. It was beautiful yesterday, wasn't it?
It was a great day for hiking.
That was an absolute great day. Now, let me ask you this before we go too much further, all right? How does the Manitou Springs Heritage Center and Cool Science Festival tie into one another?
Well, each year for the past several years, we've been asked by Mark Straub of the Cool Science Festival to do presentations, or sponsor presentations on behalf of the festival. This year is no different. This year we're doing a virtual presentation.
Oh, okay.
About Nikola Tesla. That presentation will be sponsored not only by the Heritage Center, but also the Cool Science Festival. We have Mr. Patrick Ryan conducting the presentation. And again, it's all virtual. Our virtual presentation about Tesla is scheduled on Saturday, October 17th at 10 a.m. in the morning. It's a virtual presentation, and if you'd like to tune in for that presentation about Nikola Tesla, you're invited to do so by visiting our website at www.ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org. Again, that's at 10 o'clock on October 17th, and we're proud to be a part of the Cool Science Festival, as we are every year.
And so how has COVID affected the, well, before we go into the virtual part, all right, how's it affected the museum itself?
Well, the way that COVID has affected us is that we've had to make some revisions in the way we present our exhibits. After being shut down for a couple months, we, basically we're at the mercy of state regulations regarding the reopening of museums. And so, unfortunately, those regulations didn't come down from the state until roughly about 2 months ago. We've instituted very strict guidelines for a visit to our museum, including the limitation on the days that we open the museum. Our museum, due to COVID, is open only 2 days a week, both Wednesdays and Sundays from 11:30 until 3 p.m. While visiting the museum, you will be asked to wear a mask, socially distance, and also to register at our front desk. We are a firm believer of tracking, control tracking, and so you'll be asked to sign a register once you arrive at the museum. But once you're there, you can visit the many wonderful exhibits that we have on display at the museum. If you feel a little timid about visiting a museum at this point during the COVID crisis, you can also visit our website at ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org to see many of the virtual exhibits that we've have on our website. You know, one thing we had to do was convert many of our physical exhibits into virtual exhibits. Our virtual exhibits include an exhibit concerning Pikes Peak destinations, including, and that exhibit includes the Pikes Peak Peanut Pusher, which is a very entertaining exhibit. We also have the Skinner's frozen visit to Pikes Peak. Also on our website, we have Pikes Peak destinations. We have artist Van Briggle presentation. We have about 30 photographs taken of pieces that appear in our museum display case. So again, if you feel a little timid about visiting museums at this point during the COVID crisis, you're welcome, more than welcome, to get on our website and look at the several virtual presentations and exhibits that we have on our website. We're also in the process of working on oral histories involving old-time residents of Manitou Springs, including Shirley Wade, has been very helpful in that regard. Betty Sharpton Daniels, who lives up in Cody, agreed to do a presentation in oral history for the museum. So, I mean, we seem to be moving more toward virtual rather than physical presentation of our exhibits at this point.
Was that hard for the museum to do, or was it a natural transition?
Well, it was a natural transition in that we had much of the information required for the composite, for the compiling of these various exhibits. So, yeah, it was a fairly easy transition. We had to involve some volunteers regarding graphic designs, things like that, to make the exhibits more palatable for the user of our website.
All right. Well, that's good to know. All right. Now, we have plenty of time. All right. So this summer, well, usually in the summertime, right, let's say if we didn't have COVID, I mean, you would have just had loads and loads of people coming into the museum, right? Now, first of all, does it cost anything to visit the museum?
No, our museum is entirely free. It's funded by the generous donations of local residents and our volunteers, as well as donations that are given to the museum at the time of your visit. We have a donation box set up. But it is entirely free. And just to emphasize,
There's no reason why not to visit and get some education and some entertainment all at the same time. I mean, only thing you're spending is a little bit of time.
Well, that's exactly right, Mike. We've had to also revise the way that we've raised money at the museum. You were asking about some of the challenges that we have concerning COVID. And one of the challenges is that COVID has caused a cancellation of our major fundraiser, which is the Heritage Brew Festival held each September.
The what festival?
It's called the Heritage Brew Festival. It's held in Memorial Park each year in beautiful downtown Manitou Springs. And unfortunately, due to COVID, we had to cancel that festival. Mm. With the COVID restrictions, we have size limitations. But in lieu of that, we are still holding our annual ghost festivals. And each year, for 26 years now, we've held our annual Manitou Springs ghost tours.
And those are extremely popular.
Those are extremely popular. They usually sell out. Anyone wanting to come to our ghost tours can do so. We have them scheduled this year, starting this weekend, on October 9th, 10th, and then each weekend, the 16th, the 17th, the 23rd, 24th, and 30th, we will be holding ghost tours in Manitou Springs, starting at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. It's a very interesting tour. We're doing it as a collaboration with Theater des Arts, who is a local theater group here in the Colorado Springs area, and they have agreed to partner with the Heritage Center to conduct these annual tours. The tours start at 5:30 on those dates I mentioned, and as I mentioned, get your tickets early, get them often. You can secure those tickets on our website at ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org. It's cheap. It's very entertaining, and
especially if you like ghosts, because it seems like the ghost culture has really risen, I'd say, within the last 5 to 7 years.
Well, yes.
Am I right about that?
That's right. Well, Manitou Springs is known for being haunted in some ways or other, including the ghost of Emma Crawford. And the ghost of Emma Crawford, of course, will be one of our guest hosts this year at the Heritage Center's ghost tours, scheduled every weekend, Friday and Saturday, until the end of the month, starting at 5:30.
And so I tell you what, we're going to take a quick little break. And when we come back, let's talk about that, okay? Let's talk about Emily Crawford. And let's talk more about the Heritage Center and the Cool Science Festival. Is that okay with you, Mike?
That's great, Mike.
All right, no problem. So this is Mike and Mike, all right? But that Mike is from the Manitou Springs Heritage Center, right? And we're going to talk more about Cool Science Festival and about Emma Crawford right after this. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. You're listening to Mike in the Lunchbox. And we're back here at the Lunchbox with Mike and Mike from the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. All right, I want to let you know it's 11:16 in the a.m. and we are live, folks, absolutely live. And if you'd like to be a part of the Lunchbox, we would love to have you. Please email us at info@blazin985. And let's get you on the Lunchbox as well, all right? So, Mike, with the Heritage Center, we were just getting ready to talk about Emma Crawford now. Do you have anything to do with the races? Are we having the races this year? Have they been canceled? What's going on as far as that's concerned? No, I'm so sorry. Talk into the mic, please.
Okay, hi there.
There we go.
Hi, Big Mike.
Hi.
Unfortunately, the Emma Crawford Coffin races have been canceled this year due to the COVID pandemic, and unfortunately, we're going to miss out on a lot of fun. These races typically draw anywhere up to 10,000 spectators each year.
And
it's a lot of fun. We have over 60 coffin teams compete against each other. But in lieu of that, the Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring several events in lieu of the Emma Crawford Coffin races. If you want to find out more about what's being offered in Manitou Springs, you can find out by visiting the Chamber of Commerce's website of Manitou Springs.
All right, now real quick, for anybody who doesn't know, all right, and I got to put you on the spot, but you said you're a curator, so you should know some things. All right, so I got to put you. He's like, no, I don't know anything.
I know nothing.
I know nothing. All right, and so why is Emma Crawford such a big celebrity in the Manitou Springs culture?
Well, Mike, it's like this. Emma Crawford was a concert pianist who moved to Manitou Springs roughly around 1888 with her mother and sister. They resided in Manitou for a few years. The reason they moved to Manitou Springs was so that Emma could recuperate from tuberculosis. It was a very common disease back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. There was a common belief that if you moved to mountain air and drank the mineral water from the springs of Manitou Springs, it would somehow cure you of that dreaded lung disease. So having said that, she moved to Manitou Springs after performing as a concert pianist. And, I mean, she was no schlock of a piano concert player. She appeared on the finest stages in New York City as well as in Philadelphia at the time. Those were two primary entertainment venues back in the 1890s. After moving to Manitou Springs, she did in fact recuperate somewhat from the disease. But the interesting part of her stay in Manitou involves her a meeting of a gentleman by the name of Wilhelm Hildebrand. Wilhelm Hildebrand came to Manitou in the early 1891 for the purpose of designing the Manitou's Cog Railway, and many of you are familiar with the Cog Railway. It's the train ride that takes you to the summit of Pikes Peak.
Well, at least it used to.
It used to.
It's not doing it no more.
Well, it will reopen in 2021 along with the new summit house being planned by the city of Colorado Springs.
Ooh, okay.
But Mr. Hildebrand came to Manitou for the purpose of designing the Cog Railway. He happened to meet Emma, who at the time was 28 years old. Wilhelm himself was 48, but you know, Wilhelm was a well-known, world-renowned art engineer for his time. He was focused on the design of suspension bridges. He was involved in the engineering and the design of the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City, along with John Roebling, his boss at the time. He also was responsible for designing a suspension bridge in Maquoketa, Mexico, and he also designed many of the buildings at Central Station in New York City. And so, you know, he was no schlock of a designer, but he came here to Manitou. He met Emma, and together they walked. They took walks together, one of which was a walk or a climb to the top of Red Mountain, which is the 8,000-foot high mountain overlooking downtown Manitou Springs, the Garden of the Gods, and many of the finer views in Colorado Springs can be seen from the top of Red Mountain. While at the top of Red Mountain, Emma announces that upon her death, she wanted to be buried on top of Red Mountain. Oh. She was so enthralled by the views up there that she wanted her final resting place to be at the summit of Red Mountain. So she finally succumbed to the disease, to tuberculosis, on December 4th of 1891.
And she was only 21 when this happened?
She was 28 years old.
Oh.
Wilhelm Hildebrand fulfilled her wishes by gathering up a funeral party, including pallbearers and gravediggers, who proceeded to Jigger gravesite at the top of Red Mountain. I don't know if any of you have ever visited the top of the mountain, but there's a lot of granite out there, up there. It's very difficult to dig through.
Yeah, it's a mountain.
But it is a mountain. So they proceeded to bury her, held the service and everything. Well, fast forward this story to 1911. There was a gentleman, he was a manager of the L&N Railroad by the name of B.M. Starks. Starks came to Manitou Springs early in the 1900s. While he was visiting Manitou, he noticed that there was an incline already constructed in Manitou Springs by the name of the Mount Manitou Incline. Being a railroad man himself for the Louisville-Nashville Railroad, Mr. Starks decided he wanted to also build an incline, and so he decided to call his engineers from the Louisville-Nashville Railroad to Manitou Springs for the purpose of doing analysis and determining the commercial feasibility of constructing the Red Mountain Incline, which was his brainchild. Of course, the engineers at the time determined that due to the presence of the granite, it was almost impossible to construct such an incline. The project was subsequently sold to some local investors who then proceeded to acquire the right-of-ways that were necessary to construct such an incline. When they got to the top of Red Mountain, they discovered a grave site. And lo and behold, as I mentioned earlier, it was Emma Crawford's grave site.
And nobody knew she was buried there?
She was buried there. She had no cemetery deed. There was no surviving family members who could assist them in relocating the gravesite. So the railroad company at that time took it upon itself to relocate her gravesite from the north end of the summit to the south end of the summit of Pikes Peak. Well, fast forward this story again August of 1929, there were a pair of Texas boys exploring the base of the base of Red Mountain and the surrounding hillsides. They stumbled across what appeared to be remains, skeletal remains, as well as a skull and a coffin. It was a plate from a coffin. Of course, the week preceding their adventure to the top of Red Mountain, there had been a major rainstorm, and I guess the thought was that this rainstorm had washed down some of her remains from the second grave site that was established by the Incline Company. And so they gathered up all these remains, brought them into town, and turned them into the town marshal. Well, the town marshal just threw up his hands. He didn't know what to do with these remains.
Did they know who it was?
They knew who it was all due to the nameplate that was associated with her coffin at the time of her burial. Mm-hmm. So
this poor woman's body has just been moved around everywhere.
That's exactly
right.
This
got moved all over the place.
So it was. So, I mean, the sheriff didn't know.
No wonder she's a ghost and she's upset. She's like, hey, y'all won't leave me alone. Oh, really? Y'all want to leave me alone? Y'all want to keep moving?
That's right.
Cool, I got you.
So, I mean, the question is, what do you do with Emma's remains?
Well, right.
1931, the Manitou City Council authorized a reburial or reinterment of her remains at the town cemetery located at the Crystal Valley Cemetery. It's located on the eastern edge of Manitou Springs. And so, I mean, I guess to address the wrongs,
is she still there?
Well, yes, she is still there.
Okay.
So, I mean, Emma was not buried in one or two different places in Manitou, but three different locations in Manitou Springs in order to honor her memory and to address the wrongdoings that the city had committed against her for several years. The city decides to hold this annual Emma Crawford coffin races. We were into the 26th year of the coffin races before it was canceled by the city due to COVID.
Wow.
And so
that's her story.
Well,
that's an amazing story.
Well, I'd like to also mention that Emma will be visiting again this year during the Heritage Center's ghost tours, which are scheduled on each Friday and Saturday night during the month of October. They start at 5:30. It's all socially distanced and masked. If you want to obtain your tickets, and incidentally, they're going fast, but if you'd like to obtain tickets for our ghost tours, you can do so by visiting our website at ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org.
Now, that being said, since you said you're doing it every week in October, how did last weekend go?
The last weekend would be on Saturday. I believe that's Friday the 30th.
No. Last weekend, because that was the first weekend in October.
No, we did not have them. We did not hold them this past weekend.
Oh,
they were
okay.
Scheduled to start this coming weekend.
This coming weekend is when it starts. Okay, so I misunderstood.
Right.
Please excuse me.
Yes, October, that would be October 9th and 10th.
Yeah, 9th and 10th. All right, then. And so, normally, the response has been very good. Has anybody seen anything? Have they seen any orbs? Have they think they've seen anything? Have people really been scared? Well, first of all, real quick, what's the age appropriateness for this this ghost tour?
The ghost tours serve all ages.
All ages, all right.
Yeah,
it's a
fun activity.
Okay.
And it's not really to scare anybody, but rather to educate people as to the history of Manitou Springs and the potential of ghosts still roaming the city streets.
Okay, then, so we don't need nobody needs to have their ectoplasmic Ghostbuster training kit with them?
That is correct.
No?
Mike. That's correct.
Well, you know.
No, ectoplasmic kits.
We have to ask these questions,
But we do have tour guides.
Okay.
Spirit guides, we refer to them as. And your spirit guide will take you around to the various stations where our ghosts are located.
Mike, are you a spirit guide as well?
No, I will not be serving as a spirit guide this year.
But you have in the past.
Well, yes, I have. I've also been a ghost.
You've also been a ghost, okay.
But, also, I like to say that Theater Day Art, a local theater group here in Colorado Springs, is helping us and collaborating with the Manitou Springs Heritage Center on our ghost tours. And also, I like to remind everybody to attend our virtual presentation about Nikola Tesla. That's scheduled on Saturday, October 17th at 10 a.m. And we're doing this in connection with the Cool Science Festival. It's a very nice presentation being given by Patrick Ryan, who is the local expert about Nikola Tesla. He'll explain to us in this virtual presentation about wireless telegraphy and wireless power transmission and the various weird experiments that were conducted by Nikola Tesla, including his infamous death ray.
That's right. And talk about somebody who is definitely ahead of their time.
Absolutely.
Am I right about that? Like, what do you think fascinating about Tesla yourself?
Well, I thought it was fascinating. He was so fascinating that upon his death in 1943, the U.S. government broke into his apartment.
And took all his stuff.
In Manhattan, in New York City, Manhattan, and took all his stuff, his experimental notes and everything. So there must have been something substantial there.
Well, I think it has something to do with that death ray you were just talking about. Because you say death ray, all right, then in general's ears go, eh?
Oh, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, ever see a dog and go, squirrel? Yeah, same thing, death ray.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we encourage all your listeners to tune into our virtual presentation that will be on Manitou Springs Heritage Center.org on Saturday, October 17th at 10 a.m.
It will be quite delightful, folks. And if you don't know too much about a Tesla, then, folks, this is a great way for you to learn. Talk about an unsung hero. Talk about a guy that got erased from history. Wait a minute, you're going to do what? Erase from history? You're not going to do that. Well, hey, we're finding out that, hey, if you know the right people, you absolutely can.
Well, that's exactly right.
That's horrible, though, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, man, if somebody has that kind of influence and everything like that, no, don't talk about him there. Don't talk about him there. Forget all about him.
That's right.
And then they stole all his stuff.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and I think part of the problem with Tesla was that he was in direct competition with Thomas Edison. Over the generation of electric power. And then, obviously, Thomas Edison won out and was able to start Con Ed, amongst other power plants.
I thought AC won out.
Yeah, AC was the method of electric transmission proposed by Thomas Edison. Or actually, it was the other way.
It was the DC. Yeah,
that's
DC.
Right.
Yeah,
that was the DC.
Yeah, because then Edison wanted all these little power stations.
That's right. Tesla was the one who was an advocate for AC, alternating current.
Yeah, and then they killed that poor elephant just to prove a point. That's just...
Well, we encourage everyone to attend the virtual presentation to find out more about Nikola Tesla.
Absolutely so. All right. Now, when we come back, let's talk about Pikes Peak Destinations. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, then. So I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to take another quick little break. All right, I'm with Mike with the Heritage Center. And this is, I'm Mike, and this is the Lunchbox. But before we go into that, folks, do want to let you know. All right, so 80 degrees outside, folks. It went up quick. Feels like 81, all right? Then the high tomorrow is supposed to be 81. Might feel like 83, and so that's good. And it looks like traffic is doing really well for this afternoon as well. So good job, Colorado Springs. Traffic and Weather is brought to you by Club Tilt and Grill, 3744 Ashes on Boulevard. We'll be right back with the Lunchbox, folks. So please, don't touch your dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with some more great information for you.
This is Ice Cube. Classic hip-hop and R&B plays here.
Now put your mind to the
Blazer 98.5.
And we're back with the Lunchbox with Mike from the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. And really interesting stuff going on over there, folks. And so, Mike, real quick, would you say that Colorado Springs or rather Manitou has been a hotbed for celebrities, but more celebrities have been here than most people know, would you say? Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. There are celebrities residing in Manitou Springs, and then not many people know this gentleman. His name is Robert Jackson.
Robert Jackson,
so
okay.
Hold on.
Is he related to Tito and Jermaine?
Well, I don't think so.
You don't thought, okay, well, never wrong Jackson, my
wrong
fault.
Wrong Jackson family.
My fault, all right. So what did Robert Jackson do, sir?
Jackson was a photographer. He's a photojournalist who worked for the Dallas Courier Journal in the early 60s. As a young man, he was assigned to cover the President John F. Kennedy's visit to Dallas on November 22nd of 1963. Mm. And so Mr. Jackson, of course, rode in a press vehicle and everything, and you know, he took a lot of crowd shots and everything, but we have all these photographs on exhibit at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center.
That he took.
Ooh. And as a young man, you know, he was assigned to this very important assignment by his newspaper. He took several of the photos, and of course, there's one photo that sticks in my mind. Shortly after the three rifle shots, shortly after the three rifle shots that killed the president on that fateful day, Mr. Jackson started photographing the faces of the crowds, and you could see the faces of these crowds actually turning from happiness and celebration into faces of somberness and sadness.
Exactly, because Kennedy was well beloved, and to see him gunned down in front of all those people, I mean, wow, that is traumatic.
Well, that's true, and he covered the president's visit from the time that he departed from with Jackie, from the time that he departed from Air Force One down to the field, Love Field, and so on, and in the motorcade throughout the streets of Dallas.
Wow.
But he's probably most famous for a photograph he took on November 24th of 1963, 2 days after the assassination of the president. During that interim period, a suspect by the name of Lee Harvey Oswald had been arrested by the Dallas Police Department.
Right.
And transported to their jail for holding. He was booked and held. And 2 days later, Mr. Lee Harvey Oswald was scheduled for arraignment. Well, he was transported through the basement of the Dallas Police Department. And as he was being transported, a Chicago mobster by the name of Jack Ruby, also known as Jack Rubenstein, had stepped out from the crowds with a pistol, took one shot into the abdomen of Lee Harvey Oswald, thereby killing Mr. Oswald.
That's all she wrote.
And many of you remember that moment in history. In fact, many of us saw that live on television.
And he was the one who actually took the photo that's been everywhere.
Well,
that's been in history books.
That
that's been
true.
On TV. That's been in magazines. And so that was Robert Jackson.
That's right.
Wow.
That's probably the most famous photograph that the gentleman had ever taken in his life. He happened to be in the right place
at the right time. Yes.
He took the photograph and later won the 1963 Pulitzer Prize for photojournalism for that photograph entitled The Shot. We have the entire exhibit at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. We do have plans to try to virtually present that exhibit on our website.
How cool and interesting is that? That is very interesting, all right? Now, another thing that you were telling us about here on the Lunchbox is that you have to do something with Pikes Peak Destinations. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have several stories wrapped up with Pikes Peak Destinations. The exhibit itself appears on our website on www.ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org. We have three separate stories in connection with Pikes Peak Destinations. The first of which involves the Pikes Peak Peanut Pusher.
Now what exactly is the Peanut Pusher? Is that a joke? Was somebody growing peanuts on Pikes Peak?
Well, this was reality, Mike. but it all occurred in 1929. It was a result of a bet that Mr. Williams, I can't recall his first name at the time, but one of his friends had made a bet. And if Mr. Williams lost that bet, he was required to push a peanut up the face of Pikes Peak to its summit. So in order to assist him on this venture after losing the bet, he mounted some knee pads as well as elbow pads and put this extending from his nose. The contraption was attached to his forehead. They put the peanut on the ground and he proceeded to push this peanut up Pikes Peak with the contraption mounted to his head.
If you can envision
that, it took him roughly 2 weeks to perform the feat. He camped out on Pikes Peak while performing the push, as we call it.
So he camped out for 2 weeks pushing a peanut. You know what? He's a noble man, because I know that some guys be like, dude, I was just talking. I ain't about to do that. Like, dude, you call me a cheater then, because I ain't about to do that. I thought you were messing with me. I ain't about to put a peanut up Pikes Peak. Come on, give me a break now. Well, he was very noble, and he did it.
He did it. He actually delivered on the bet.
He didn't wilt.
Unfortunately, we have none of the artifacts relating to that famous peanut push in 1929.
Do we even have the peanut?
Well, we have, at the very least, the peanut, which was on display at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. That peanut can be seen on our website in our virtual presentation. So we do have the peanut, the actual peanut that was donated to the Manitou Springs Heritage Center. Now, Having said that about Mr. Williams, there have been two other peanut pushers who performed the same feat. They duplicated a feat, one of which was done by Ulysses Baxter, who was a rockabilly star in the early 60s. In 1963, Ulysses Baxter also performed a peanut push up the face of Pike's Peak.
The same way, and did it take him as long?
The same way. No, it took him, I believe, 10 days. It was a shorter time. He broke the record by a few days.
So now it's a record-holding thing.
But also there was a University of Colorado student who performed the feat in 1976, and he perhaps holds the record for that peanut push time. I think it was a week or so, but if you want to find out more about the peanut pusher, the Pike's Peak peanut pusher, please visit our website at www.ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org. And let me say another thing about Ulysses Baxter.
Man, that was really fun. Well, fun for us, maybe not them so much, but...
Well, Ulysses Baxter was perhaps the most famous of the peanut pushers. In addition to being a rockabilly star, you know, he's kind of like an Elvis Presley type of performer.
Right.
He was invited to appear on Jack Parr's Tonight Show shortly after the beat. And also on What's My Line, hosted by Gary Moore. So, I mean, he had received some notoriety for his famous peanut push up the face of Pike's Peak.
That is something else, all right? Now, what is with the Skinners? Is it Frozen Skinners or Skinners?
Well, yes, the Frozen Skinners.
Okay, tell me about that, please.
Well, the Frozen Skinners actually started out very much alive in August of, I think it was 1929, and they decided on one afternoon to take a hike up to the top of Pike's Peak. Well, they started late. The first of their mistakes was that they started late in the afternoon. They were very ill-supplied. They brought very little water with them. There was one account of a Pike's Peak guide who detected them, I guess, later in the afternoon. And he said they appeared to be in very poor shape. They were spotted somewhere in the vicinity of Windy Point. Those of you who have visited Pike's Peak on the Cog Railway know that at Windy Point, the winds up there become very voracious, mm-hmm. hitting top speeds of anywhere from 90 to 120 miles per hour. Well, on the night of the hike, a snowstorm set in on Pike's Peak, a very severe snowstorm. They found the Skinners the following day frozen in ice. And so, unfortunately, they met the fate of they fell victim to
of the
elements of Pike's Peak.
Oh, and they were literally frozen. Well, here's my thing. Why didn't they turn back?
I don't know. It might have been foolish pride. Who knows? They wanted to be able to say because it was there. That's why they did it. But anyway, you know, there were a series of mistakes that were committed by the Skinners. And unfortunately, it led to their fate.
Wow. Now, was it the whole family, most of the family, some of the family?
It was Mr. and Mrs. Skinner.
Okay.
Now, if you get on our website and look at our exhibit of Pike's Peak Destinations, you can find out more about the Skinners. We also have a Pike's Peak Library District-sponsored video about the Skinners. It's very detailed, very well done. And the graphics in this video are incredible. So we encourage everybody to visit our website and to see our virtual presentation of Pike's Peak Destination.
Well, I'm having too much fun with you, all right? Is this the kind of fun that you have at the Heritage Center
This is the kind of fun we have all the time. Come on down sometime, Mike, and visit us. We'd love to have you and host you at our museum and give you a personalized tour.
Oh, I would love that. Well, you know, I got five people with me at all times, all right? Just want to let you know.
That's okay.
And that youngest one, she's a handful sometimes. All right, then, but we all like learning about things, all right? Now, if I was to say to you, Van Briggy? No, you see, I can't even
Van
say
Briggle.
It the word. Yeah. If I was to say that to you, what would that mean?
Well, Van Briggle, the word pottery comes to mind.
Okay.
Artist Van Briggle. Now you got me doing it, Mike.
See, I knew I couldn't talk. All right, I knew I couldn't say the word correctly.
Well, Artist Van Briggle was a world-famous potter. He was born in Felicity, Ohio. For the first 10 years of his life, he worked at the Rookwood Pottery, which was a famous pottery at its time. That was sometime around 1891 or so.
Like actually making pots and bowls or what?
Exactly. They were known for potted vessels, also bowls, vases, things along those lines. Very famous, very... But, you know, the one thing about Rookwood Pottery is that it was known for its matte finish. And you know, if you're like me, I'm not an expert in pottery, but I know that there's a matte finish and a glossy finish.
Yes.
Well, Van Breugel is credited with developing a matted finish. Later, when he contracted tuberculosis, moved to Colorado Springs with his young wife, Ann Van Breugel, in 1898. And here in Colorado Springs, they started their own pottery by the name of Van Breugel Pottery. That pottery, incidentally, it has a reputation or is known for being the longest-running pottery in the United States. It lasted until 2012, when it was finally closed down by its present owners.
Like 2012, like 6 years, like 8 years ago?
6 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
So it was in existence for close to 114 years. And but let me say this, Mr. Van Breugel himself, while living in Colorado Springs, lived for another 5-6 years. During that short time frame, he was credited with winning 4 international exposition awards for his work in pottery. The expositions included the Lewis and Clark Exposition, the St. Louis Exposition, and there were a few other Paris Salon Exposition. I might be a little rusty on my French there, but there was one other exposition that he had won at the time. He finally died and succumbed to that dreaded disease of tuberculosis on July 4th, 1904. His wife, Anne, carried forward the tradition by hiring some contractors and designers. The building, the Van Breugel Pottery building you see on Colorado College's campus, was a result of that design effort made by Ann Van Breugel. And that pottery was finished in 1910, but it allowed the Van Breugel Pottery Company to continue to sell its wonderful matted glazed finished products for years to come.
Now, if you were to get if you could find older version of this pottery, was it worth a lot of money now, do you think?
Yes, it is. Some of the older pottery existing, I guess in the late 1890s and 1900, would be worth fortunes.
Really?
Yes.
How about this?
If you find a piece of Van Breugel, hold on to it. If you suspect that it has some value, there are some websites online that allow you to look up the age of the pottery, the finisher, the glazer, so on and so forth. But, you know, you can also pick out Van Breugel pottery by looking at the print by the stamp on the bottom of the pottery. You'll see a double A back to back with each other, indicating artist and Ann Van Breugel.
That is something else. Wow, who knew there was just so much great stuff going on here, all right? Now, before we get up out of here, all right, what can you tell us about the fruitcake toss?
Another one of my favorite events, Mike. It's held in Manitou Springs each January. And again, I think they're working on their 26th annual fruitcake toss this year. It's sponsored by the Manitou Springs Chamber of Commerce. And it's a fun time. We have 5 different competitions involving fruitcake. You know, the idea started by a bunch of people at the Chamber of Commerce, who were trying to figure out what to do with the fruitcake.
Now, here's the thing I'm wondering, all right? Was the fruitcake they have that horrible? Because some fruitcake is actually pretty tasty. But what they had was just so horrible, like, dude, there's no way I'm eating this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but we do have a sponsor who is a fruitcake company, the Lone Star Fruitcake Company out of Texas.
Right.
Excellent fruitcake. Mm-hmm. I thought it was tasted pretty good, but evidently fruitcake doesn't... requires a certain taste. But if you don't like your fruitcake, you have an opportunity to toss it at the Manitou Springs Fruitcake Toss each January. As I mentioned, we have 5 separate events, including speed pitches, accuracy throws, we have distance throws, we have balancing shows. You know, it becomes a pretty sophisticated event.
I just hate for the person to have to clean that up, though. Am I right about that?
Well, you're right. Once it strikes the ground, it disintegrates We also have exhibition tosses given by catapults and slingshots. A lot of fun to see. Sometimes they can toss those cakes hundreds of feet.
And does it have to be an older fruitcake, or can it be a newer fruitcake?
Well, it can be usually, well, the fruitcake has to be sanctioned by the official fruitcake committee. And
have to sanction a fruitcake?
Well, that's right. It has to be certified by.
Does that mean they have to taste it? Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, it'll work. It'll work. Well, yeah, well, that's horrible. It'll work.
I guess the baking of the fruitcake has to be certified by the official fruitcake committee. We determine whether there's anything inside of the fruitcake, weighing it down. You know, sometimes if you put a weight inside of a fruitcake, it enables you to toss it a longer distance.
People would actually cheat like that and bake a weight into the fruitcake?
Some people will do anything to win, Mike.
Wow. Is that serious, huh?
It is. This is a serious competition.
That they bake a weight into the fruitcake? Really? Okay, you see, that's... Once again, mind blown. Mind blown. That's how serious it is that they would actually bake a weight into the fruitcake.
It is mind blowing.
That is. Now, as of right now, are we on track to have that this year, or have they already decided that they're not going to do it?
Well, there hasn't been any official word on as to whether the fruitcake toss will be held this year due to the COVID virus. But we should find out more from the Chamber of Commerce in the coming months.
Gotcha. I've had a really good conversation with you, and thank you for enlightening me and teaching me some things today. I really do appreciate it. So, once again, tell everybody where the Heritage Center is located, how they can get in touch with you, and when can they come check these good things out at the Heritage Center for free.
Mike, thanks again for having me on today's program. The Heritage Center is located in beautiful downtown Manitou Springs at 517 Manitou Avenue. If you want to find out more about the museum and its hours, you can get on our website at www.ManitouSpringsHeritageCenter.org. It's a fun time. Due to the COVID restrictions, you know, we ask that you please wear a mask. You will be socially distanced inside of our museum. And due to COVID, we're open 2 days a week now, Wednesdays and Sundays between 11:30 and 3 a.m. We'd love everybody to come out, see the weird history that we have involving Manitou Springs at our Heritage Center. And I think, you know, if you do come out, we promise you a personal tour if I'm there. If not, you can call me by making prior arrangements at the Manitou Springs Heritage Center.
Not a problem. I think you probably give a really good tour. You look like a plethora of great information.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me on today.
Hey, we appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for joining us for the Lunchbox today, folks. Hopefully you learned something, and hopefully you had a little bit of fun, too. All right? I have 11:54 on the clock, and the reason why I tell you that, folks, because I wanted to let you know that we are live and local. So if you'd like to be on the Lunchbox, by all means, send us an email. It's info@blazin985. All right, we want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you. Tomorrow we're going to do something special, folks. We're going to do a live remote from the Hinburg Building, 709 North Nevada. All right, and we're going to be doing that with XLP Realty Company. All right, and it's for we're going to be raising food for the Marion House. All right, so if you have canned goods or you have non-perishable items and you want to bring them by, we would absolutely love to have that. We're doing that from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow at the Hinburg Building, 709 North Nevada. Come by, say hi, donate something, because we want to make sure that people eat this holiday season, all right? Once again, we want to thank you for joining us at the Lunchbox. Y'all have a great afternoon.